It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Back second half is here, and it's been a busy one. Let's keep going. The portal is about to close, but what's happening in the transfer portal? We've heard a little bit of news. Philip Dukes joins us from On3. Always great to check in with him. We'll talk about Auburn a little bit later on. Philip, thank you for the time. So tell us what's happening in the portal right now.
I think the portal is really picking up. After players are starting to see where they stand in on the spring depth chart, they're making business decisions based on how much playing time they'll get. I think when the portal started, it was more like people were tweeting and saying, I thought the portal was going to be crazy, or I thought there would be more action. But now we're starting to see the portal pick up, and there are actually some guys in the portal, in the spring portal, who are going to have impacts in the fall. And I think it's just a part of the new landscape in college football. And this, in my opinion, is frankly, it's exciting.
Well, let's keep it right now within the framework of the conference that we both cover a great deal. I know you're more of a national guy now. But what seems to be moving the needle within the SEC, both players leaving and entering?
I think in the SEC, it's more so going to be guys who are kind of blocked by guys at their position. But when it comes to guys transferring into the SEC, I think having experience over potential has been basically the biggest needle mover when it comes to guys transferring in. And SEC guys, SEC schools actually pursuing players in the spring portal. When you think about it, if you have a guy in the SEC and you take somebody from outside of the conference, there's already a level of 4 and 5 stars there who are looking for playing time. So it's going to be hard to kind of bring somebody in or recruit somebody out of the transfer portal based on solely potential or using their practice film. So you want to have guys who have documented production. And I think the guys that you will see make impacts in the SEC are going to be guys who already have a strong track record.
We're talking to Philip Dukes from On3. Philip, I know at one time you covered Auburn, and that's I get a lot of questions about Auburn, trying to figure out where this program is. I realize we're 1 year in on Hugh Freeze, but the chaos that prevailed late in the year with those three losses still stings. A reset, coaching staff, and many other ways. What's your assessment of the Tigers?
Right now, I think the Tigers are in a lot better place than they were going into Hugh Freeze's first year. When you look at the level of talent that's been brought in through high school recruiting as well as the portal, I think that the overall talent level has risen. I also think that when Hugh Freeze decided to take over the offense, I think it's going to pay huge dividends for the Tigers coming up this year. When you think about a lot of the negative press that Auburn's quarterback situation got last year, you start to think, well, did you have the right guy for the job? And Hugh Freeze answered that when he decided to take over his own play calling. And now, what can Peyton Thorne become with a better cachet of wide receivers, more talent in the room as a whole, as well as Hugh Freeze calling and dialing up the plays?
And I want to ask you about Thorne, because I realize Freeze is committing, but there seems to be a lot of uncertainty. How would you describe what he faces and what happens if he does not perform?
I think he'll be on a short leash this year. The portal is still open. I really could. There have been more options that have been dropping in the portal in the more recent days. You look at a guy like Jaden Rashada at Arizona State, you wonder if Auburn would be willing to kick the tires on his potential as well. But what he's facing is a fan base that's rabid for a winner, a fan base that sees that the quarterback room could quite possibly be the weakest room on the roster, and it's basically on his shoulders. When you look at the level of experience behind him, You don't really have any. Now, you have some potential. You've got a guy like Holden Gariner, who a lot of people think has the best arm on the team. You also have a guy like Hank Brown, who does a little bit of everything well. And then you bring in the highly touted freshman, Walker White, out of Arkansas, who is really raw but so just explosive and excited when it comes to what he can do athletically. But how much SEC experience do you have? And as we all know, that's what wins ball games more so than not. So I think that he'll be on a really short leash and that they'll be looking for more options, because the Auburn fan base is right now rabid for a winner. And when you almost beat Georgia, when you almost beat Alabama, you're wondering, can you get that push to like get over the hump? And I think this year a lot of people will be pointing their focus at Peyton Thorne.
Philip, finally on Auburn, what would you consider a successful season for them?
I think with Auburn, you have to go with 8 or 9 games. If they can win those 8 or 9 games, you can really see that there's been progress. And if Auburn can get that production from the quarterback position, you look at a guy like Cam Coleman, the true freshman. You saw what he did in the spring game. Everybody's talking about the buzz around him. And then you also add him in with a guy like Robert Lewis, who came from Georgia State, who had a ton of production, who can kind of add some veteran leadership to that young room. If you look at Auburn last year, what was missing was the passing attack. And I think that if Hugh Freeze and company can get that together, then you'll see at least 8 to 9 wins this year.
Yeah, and Philip, I mean, you could make a case that, again, they have Vanderbilt, but that schedule, difficult, that goes without saying, but it's more manageable than some. Hey, thank you very much. Fantastic stuff from Philip Dukes from On3. Always great to catch up with you. We head to the break. We'll head to College Station a little bit later on, find out what is going on out there. They spent nearly $75 million paying Jimbo Fisher off and or laying a few people off. What's the deal? Travis Brown joins us at the bottom of the hour.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and so is Todd from Shelby. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, wonder, I'm trying to sit here. I listened to Susie call in, and she got mad the other day at I-Man. And she going to tell us that Jim's a good caller. Well, she's full of crap. Let me tell you something. Susie, I hope your husband is nothing like him, because that means that you live with a rude, conspicuous, no good ass, because that's all Jim is. And he calls in and he said he thinks he's the star and Alyssa Lane has a crush on him. That's the biggest crock of mess I ever heard. And Susie, you told a lie. You ain't had no crush on Patrick Swayze. You got a crush on I-Man down there, Toots. That's who your crush is on. Paul, that beats all I ever heard. I can't believe. Let me ask you something, Paul. Do you remember 18 or 19 years ago when I called you from Kansas and you was trying to run Mike Shula off?
Vaguely.
Well, we talked about it, and I told you I had read the book, The Bears, and it told about Don Shula. It told about the Miami Dolphins offering Bear the job down there at Miami.
Right.
But let me tell you something, Paul. Time don't make anybody nothing. You are who you are. And old Dick from Tuscaloosa down there, I don't care whether he quits or not. Let me tell you something, Susie. There's a lot of men out there that are decent men and know how to treat women right, and Jim's not one of them, and that's why he has spent his whole life without one. And you ought to at least stand up for yourself sometimes. It ain't all about calling this show. Paul owns this show. Paul worked hard to get this job, not Jim from Tuscaloosa, or Dick from Tuscaloosa. Google him, Susie, and you'll see how folks talk about him on the computer being rude in restaurants and stuff. Something ain't right. I mean, when people go to giving folks credit for being rude asses, there's something wrong. Thank you, Paul. Roll damn tide.
AC is up next.
Mr. Feinbaum, sir, how are you feeling? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
You know, this is the animosity is, this is why I'm starting to like Jim, because he embraces hate like AC. This is why I like him. Now, let me tell you who's hot and who is not. Hot, I would say Susie is hot. Jim from Tuscaloosa is hot. Dominic is red hot. Guy in Louisville, I'm talking about John in Louisville, he is extremely hot. John in St. Louis, this guy is okay. But when it comes to not hot, all the losers out there. That includes you, that fake idiot named Expired. 3 weeks ago, the idiot said, I'm hot. Last week, he says, I'm not even hot. Guess what's not hot? Texas A&M, they've never been hot. They've always been a sore loser. This is why, you fools, you will never go anywhere. Jim, bro, I love you because you embrace the hate. Mr. Feinbaum, I love you too. Holla.
Carol is up next in Houston.
Good afternoon, hey. Paul. Thanks for taking
hey,
my
Carol.
Call. Wow. Hey, obviously he's never been around Aggies because we're gracious losers and God knows we're used to it. I have a couple of things I want to talk to you about this afternoon. One is the draft. I've heard a lot of talk about linebackers, not very rich in wide receivers, and I'm wondering if you've heard anything specific or what your thoughts are on Edgerrin Cooper, who I think is a beast, and Anaya Smith, who has a boatload of talent. What do you hear about them?
Yeah, no, I mean, they were both phenomenal players, and as soon as you mentioned both of them, I was thinking, why haven't we heard their names more? I'll have to dig into that a little bit more. We hear the same wide receiver candidates, but I have not looked at the draft in totality. I've mainly concentrated on the top of it, but I'll see if we can find that out.
Thanks a lot, Paul. The other thing I want to mention is this. Thank God we're only 120-something days from the kickoff of the fall college football season. I just want to say this about the callers. These people need to get lives. They are obviously so into each other. They call. God bless you, Paul. You should charge a fee on all of these callers because you are their therapist. They vent, and it really pisses me off when they vent at you because you're a gracious host, but it just cracks me up. It's like, hey, let's talk about sports, please. Let's talk about football. Keep the focus there and save your hate for somewhere else. Paul, we love you. Hang in there.
Carol, thank you. It's great to hear from you. I really appreciate it. Jim is next.
I'm going to tell you something, Feinbaum. This fool, hypocrite, liar that says things that he knows nothing about. He knows nothing about whether I've been married. He knows nothing about who I've spent my life with, about women or anything of that sort. He's a lying, no good fool. That's what he is. He's a hater. He's a vicious hater. And I'll tell you something, Todd, you lying B.O., I'm going to tell you right now without a doubt, God judges those who judge others. And I'll tell you how he judges them. It's in the Bible. How you severely judge one person, me in this case, is how God will judge you eventually. You're a stinking, lying, no good hypocrite. You're rotten as hell, and you're the biggest hater on this show, and I got nothing except hate back for you. And I know I'll have to ask God to forgive me, but you're the sorriest scum by, next to Squirrel and the creep Logan. You're in the bottom of the barrel. You're a low life, no good. I better watch what I say. That's all I got to say, Paul. Thank you.
Bubba is next in North Carolina.
Lord have mercy. What's shaking, Paul?
Hey, Bubba.
What's Randy up to today?
Randy's a no-show today.
Oh, is he? I didn't hear him. I didn't know if he was there today or not.
Randy was prescient. He knew what was coming. That's why he stayed home.
Yeah, it's been the Jim from Tuscaloosa show here for a while. You were talking about celebrity crushes. I wonder how many boys had celebrity crushes on Daisy Duke back in the day.
You know, I wasn't one of them because I didn't really watch that show, but I can understand why there might be a few.
Well, I'm a Gen Xer, and that show came out was hot when I was growing up, and
it wouldn't have anything to do with the way she dressed, was it? Would it be?
Well, I don't know. She invented the Daisy Duke shorts, that's for sure.
She sure did.
I tell you what, I wouldn't mind it being Uncle Jesse. But no, the other day, Adam Sparks called in talking about Tennessee football.
Okay.
And I got to agree with you, Paul. I like his very down-to-earth, realistic analysis of them. A lot of these guys get all caught up and blow things out of proportion. But I think everything he said was pretty much spot on. A lot of stuff's going to hinge on injuries, on the quarterback, staying healthy and up on his feet. The defense, last year our secondary sucked. And I'm not saying they're going to be great this year, but I think they will improve. And I think Tennessee could have a high ceiling, but with that being said, I also think that their floor could be pretty bad if things don't go right.
Yeah, by the way, I'm really glad. I'm glad what you said about Adam. I think, we have a lot of different people on, but to me, what I respect and admire about him, he's a great reporter. He brings the information smoothly, coherently, and really without a lot of emotion and prejudice. And that is unusual today.
Absolutely. He's very unbiased, and he keeps it real. And I just thought that was a very well-thought-out opinion he was given. And number two, I want to talk about Larry. I'm so glad that Larry scabbed over and came back. I mean, Larry makes his show. He's a hot mess. Everybody loves him. Then I'm going to move on to the buffoon of the moment, Mr. Jim. He says here, it talks about, well, I'm critical once in a while, but everybody that calls him critical, they're hating on Jim. And Jim always, all I hear out of Jim's, oh, I never attack nobody. They always attack me. Well, it wasn't long ago he was picking on Will from North Carolina, making fun of how he talked and blah, blah, blah. And I called in. I said, hey, leave him alone, Jim. Well, then Jim comes at me with this redneck hillbilly crap, blah, blah, blah. And he's going to call you back in a minute mad on me. And I hope you do, Jim. But I'm going to tell you something, Paul. And Jim, this is for you, Jim, and everybody else out there. You're jealous of Paul Feinbaum. You can't stand it. You'll never quit the show because it's all you have. You're miserable. This is your life. You can't let it go. You can't walk away from it because you've got nothing else. You're not a nobody. You're a never has been. Some a little league, Ted Williams. Who gives a crap, Jim? You're nothing. You're nothing but a big mouth on a TV show, and Paul milks all your drama for all it's worth, and you're too stupid to see it. But that's about all I got to say about that, Paul, but you have a good evening.
Well, thank you very much. You too. Tanner is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Tanner.
Hey, Paul. You doing all right?
We are doing great.
That's good. That's good. Well, Paul, your degree's in law, isn't it?
I'm a part-time legal eagle.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if you heard about yesterday's the Federal Trade Commission outlawed nationwide non-compete agreements.
Yes, I did hear about that.
Yeah, I feel like half my coworkers entered the transfer portal today.
You know, but, I was, and Tanner, not to bring my own life into what you're asking me, but I have had to deal with that a number of times because I have seen some of the most draconian non-competes put on people in this industry. And I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about when I used to work more in local radio. And it was really blatantly unfair. I can't tell you how many times I have spoken to attorneys about challenging them. And I can't tell you how many different opinions I've had on what would happen if you did. So this is a really good ruling. The one thing about the ruling I'm not certain about, though, is exactly who it applies to. I think there is a condition in there for a certain level. It may still be applicable, but I haven't read the entire thing yet.
Yeah, I haven't read much into it. I just heard about it this morning, but I knew we had spoke in the past on it, and I just wanted to get your opinion.
I mean, a lot of people, Tanner, I mean, workers at all kinds of companies have been really prohibited from leaving because of that. And what it's really about is intellectual property. It's about, I mean, if you're an executive at one company, there has to be some way to keep you from leaving and going to the company across the street the next day. But that does not apply to 99% of the employees at any company.
And that's what I've always been a little confused, because I not only have signed a non-compete agreement, I signed a non-disclosure agreement as well, and I'm just...
Right.
You
well,
know,
that's a different story.
Well,
a non-disclosure... A non-disclosure is different than a non-compete. But,
yeah,
I mean, essentially,
yes,
I've seen it at fast food restaurants before, where you work at McDonald's, you can't go across the street to Burger King.
Yeah, you know, Paul, you probably know more about it than I do, but it just, from my experience, it just seems like certain employers have used it as an intimidation tactic.
Yeah, they have, and that's fairly typical of employers. Now, what I'm concerned about more than anything, Tanner, and I don't know if the FTC ruled on this, what I get nervous about is if, let's say, one of our callers goes to another show after we have made him into a star, and then he tries to go somewhere else and take all the goodwill that we've invested in him. Is that fair?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Paul, life isn't fair, but I'll tell you this. You're the star of this show, and anybody that wants to go somewhere else, good luck looking for whatever it is you're finding. So, but all right, Paul, just want
hey,
to
thank
talk
you very much, Tanner. Really interesting
time.
Question. You got it. We will continue in a moment. Travis Brown joins us from Texas. What's happening in College Station? A new man is in charge.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This is from the Eagle out in Bryan, Texas. A&M Athletics lays off more than a dozen staff members and a new athletic director. There is always going to be change. Trev Albert's now there taking over. So, but the question a lot of people are asking is, with all the money that they pay Jimbo Fisher, is that part of it? Is it NIL? Well, we bring in Travis Brown to solve this mystery. Hey, Travis, what's happening out there?
Yeah, a big day yesterday in the athletic department. Anywhere between, from what we're hearing, 12 to 20 people laid off in the athletic department. First, I'll have to start this off by saying a lot of people that we here and in the media work with day in and day out, and really good people. They were good at their jobs. And so that the humanity side of that shouldn't be lost in what happened out here at A&M yesterday. But Trev Alberts, when we asked him, he said it was citing the changing landscape of the way that budgets are going to be balanced here coming in the future, and future threats to that budget. And we asked him directly, is this a result of Jimbo Fisher's buyout still being on the books? And he said, no, it has to do with looking ahead to the future. But when you look and you're balancing a budget, that, around $9 million a year is going to be on that budget until 2031. That is a piece of that budget in the future. So you can't forget about that part of things when you're trying to talk about an athletic department budget in this new era coming up in college sports and college football.
Listen, Travis, I don't know about the inner workings of that athletic department, but most would conclude or have said that Ross Bjork ran a pretty good operation out there. Certainly a lot of success, some mistakes, of course. But what can you tell us about Alberts? He is new. It was a surprising, if not shocking, hire. He's been there a couple of weeks now. What's going on other than this?
Yeah, it was pretty shocking. A guy coming from his alma mater, played a big, of course, big linebacker, big football player up there, and coming down to Texas A&M. When we asked him about him early on, it was all about the fact that A&M is situated with leadership-wise in a way to attack this new reality of college sports head-on, is the reasons that he gave. And he said from day one that he planned on running this athletic department like a business. You know, he spent a lot of time when he first jumped into the college football administration realm as the athletic director at Omaha. There's plenty of very shrewd business people in that region, and he befriended some of them and basically took, had mentors and tutorship and learned how to run a Fortune 500 type business. On top of also being an athletic director, and every indication that we've gotten from him down here so far is that this is no longer an educational add-on to the college experience. This is a big-time business, and that's the way things are going to be run in Aggieland.
Speaking of business, the biggest business out there is what happens on the football field every Saturday at Kyle Field. So what can you tell us about the spring? It's now over, and all eyes are on Mike Elko as they get ready for Notre Dame.
Yeah, Mike Elko really emphasized the point of wanting his guys to just be comfortable going at 100% within the system. You know, we were out there at times during spring practice, and one of the most interesting things that I saw was they had a guy on a microphone with the loudspeakers going, and if somebody wasn't given enough effort, they called out his name and yelled effort. And that said, hey, there's eyes in the skies watching. They want guys to be able to learn how to push their bodies to that limit and then a little bit beyond in spring ball, while also kind of getting a feel for the philosophies and the systems of the new coordinators. So he said he liked where they are from that standpoint, from the ability to go out there and know what it feels like to push your body kind of to that next level. And he said through the summer and the fall is where they're really going to continue work on implementing, installing a lot more of those philosophies and getting the new systems in place. But it was a very different atmosphere out there at practice from some of the previous regimes. A lot more conversation, a lot more calling individual guys out for efforts and demanding that effort on every kind of drill, every kind of play.
Travis, I realize everybody's throwing stuff up against the wall right now trying to figure out these transitional teams, but I saw one of the 8 million predictions for next season yesterday, and it had Texas A&M in the top 25, which caught me a little bit by surprise, but then again, you should expect that considering all the effort that goes into it. What's your spitball guess on what's happening, what will be happening in a couple of months?
I don't see them from what they've accomplished in the last few years as being a team that should start out in the top 25. I don't think that anything they've done on the field merits that kind of ranking. What I think probably some people would lean on and what I could see is that they did return a lot of talent. This is the year that for those of that number one class, that 2022 number one class that did stick around, they're juniors. This is their time to shine, and this is kind of what they've been building for. A&M has a quarterback, as long as he can stay healthy, and Connor Wigman, that I think has a chance to be one of the better ones in the SEC. If you want to look at the Pro Football Focuses in those, through the first four games that he was able to play, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC before he got injured, missed the rest of the season. That's another thing in spring practice. He's still recovering from that injury. He wasn't very mobile. He hasn't been back to 100% yet. And so just how he recovers from that injury is going to be a huge part of the question that you asked as well. They return wide receivers. They return a stable of depth running back, and they have just a mean defensive line under the tutelage of Mike Elko and his defensive mind. And I think the one thing that they have, kind of going back to a past question too, is organization. Mike Elko, very organized in everything he does, lays things out in an organized manner. And everybody talked about what made A&M so successful when Jimbo Fisher was here was actually Mike Elko's organization. So I think those things are pluses playing into where they have the ability. There is a ceiling there from where they're starting that they could be in that range if all those pieces come together.
Great stuff. Travis Brown from the Eagle out in Bryan, Texas. Thank you very much, Travis. We'll see you soon. Always a fantastic guest. As we head to the break right now, we've had a lot of guests here today. Time for your phone calls. I know that it's exciting news to everyone. We'll be right back with your calls.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
The legendary Kenny Chesney dropping in here on Friday afternoon. We'll talk about his career, his early days as a high school football player in Knoxville, his fandom, and he'll be here on Friday afternoon. Susie is up next. Hello, Susie.
Hello, Paul. I'm sorry to have to call again today, but I just wanted to respond to Todd, if I could.
Sure.
First of all, Todd, I'm not Toots. Toots may be considered offensive when you use it to address a woman you do not know well. And I don't appreciate it being lambasted by you, Todd. You don't know me at all. I was married to a wonderful man for 33 years, kind. We never fought. We never had an argument. Treated me with great respect. And on our 33rd anniversary, he was diagnosed with lung cancer. And he died, 10 weeks later. And I have been a widow for 14 and a half years. And I only hang with people that are decent and treat me right. And I've been with a wonderful man that I went to high school with and was a friend in high school for 6 years now. And he treats me with the utmost respect. My call was not to say that I respected all the things that Jim said. I said he made a great caller because he gets other people involved. I've always enjoyed your calls, Todd, but today it hit a nerve because what I've been through for the last 15 years, but never has it been against a man that treated me wrong or called me toots. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Susie. I-Man is up next.
Good afternoon, Paul. How's it going?
Very well.
but it seems like I missed something today. You know, I was listening to the show yesterday and all these people calling in and berating people for not talking to women right. And then now today there's men not talking to women right and women talking back to men. And I mean, this is just the norm. You know, and sometimes do you feel like John Lennon, having a John Lennon moment? I mean, when are you going to look at the Disney people and say, listen, I'm bigger than Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck?
I think that day is coming very soon, by the way, I mean.
And throw in Pluto. And I mean, I mean, we're talking about a company that's got a duck out there with no pants and a mouse with no shirt. What the hell's wrong with that picture? But no, I mean, you know, I mean, it's obvious that people just don't listen to your show that well, and they don't get it. They don't watch the shuffling at the card table. They don't realize that. Does that make sense to you that they really don't get the show other than just calling you?
Well, listen, there's always a third rail here. You know that you're part of the original group, but. I don't mind all this going on. I mean, I allow it because I think that's the way a program ought to run.
Well, it's a caller-driven show. Yeah,
there's enough censorship in the world. You don't need it here.
Well, to a point, yeah. But I mean, you know, I have just over the years, it's overwhelming to me how personal people get with you. I mean, you just said, "Hey, how you doing?" And you know, my life is great. My life is the ruins. My life is okay. My life sucks. I mean, your neighbors suck. And guess what? Their dogs suck, too. And your team sucks. And your coach sucks. And if he's a little feller, he sucks, too. I mean, you know. and Reggie Bush, he sucks. Now, how did they give – all right, now, let's clarify something. Back when Reggie Bush was stripped from his champion, his Heisman Trophy, it's because – he and his family were cheating at USC with Pete Carroll.
That is correct.
They were living in a house that Pete Carroll paid for.
Correct.
And so they stripped him. Then Kim Kardashian dumps him. I mean, his life just, talking about something, went off the tracks quick, his life. And then all of a sudden he shows up in hamburger commercials. And now the Heisman people say, well, you know, this is a different day of time. And you know, it's time to move on and give this young man that trophy. Although he cheated like hell and his family cheated like hell and the coach cheated like hell and Auburn got robbed out of a championship opportunity, you know, well, it's okay. It's a new day of time. With it being a new day of time, I guess Auburn can claim that national championship at Oklahoma.
I think it's time to get that coach out of the United States Senate and declare Auburn the champion of 2004.
Absolutely, and hold up that seventh finger. I mean, you know, it is what it is, and little fella's gone. Now, Texas A&M is worried about their budget and they're laying people off, but they saw what a scumbag Fisher was at Florida State, but they hired the man anyway and then paid him stupid money because they were stupid oil people, kind of like J.R. Ewing. We're going to show you how stupid we are. Watch this. Hey, watch this. Then Nick Saban shuts him down, and then Jimbo Fisher shuts Nick down. I, you know what I would like to do? Is I'd like to pick up a book that Jimbo Fisher wrote about that particular conversation.
That would be a good book.
It would be one hell of a book.
Somebody should have written that one.
It would be a TV series.
Yeah.
It'd be a TV series. They'd make a cartoon out of it. And guess what? We would talk about it.
Hey, we're coming up on the 2-year anniversary in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, forever. And then, you know, little fella come on and he'll be one of your guests and he'll take calls, which probably won't happen. But, he, you know, he'll be talking to the team and talking to his people and he'll just have a rant and a raving fit, you know, kind of like when I'm talking to my people on your show. I'm not having a conniption. I'm not going out on a limb. I'm spreading the love and the bragging rights the Auburn Tigers have given me, win, lose, or draw. I'm talking to my people. I didn't lay anybody off because we got $9 million in the budget. We got to do something. We got to do something. We got to do something now. I mean, where's all that damn oil? Talk to your president about opening up them drilling rigs.
All prices are up, too.
You would think they would be. They're certainly high at the pump here. and everything. You know, Paul, I was looking back because I spend a lot of the money that I make because I do a lot of the personal shopping and that kind of thing. My cost of living went up almost $475 a month because of the lack of drilling for oil in this country. Since all this chaos started, that's hard for average people out there to just come up with above and beyond what they're already making. And they're saying, you better tighten your belt. You better, what belt? Hell, I got suspenders on. I mean, you better do something with that budget. You better, what budget? There is no, you can't budget nothing. What did Billy Preston, nothing from nothing leaves?
Nothing.
What? Nothing. When's the last time Billy Preston was quoted on this
program? That's a good song, by the way.
It absolutely was. You know, he was the fifth
Beatle. You got
so
it.
To speak. And you know, I'm going to come in like Billy Preston, and I'm going to offer all the love and the condolences and the suave attitude and the graciousness and the hypocrisy of everything that I want, that I choose to be hypocritical about. As always, Paul, War Damn Eagle, and forget Reggie Bush. Take that damn trophy back. Ship Kim Kardashian and her whole damn family back to Bruce Jenner's house, and we'll have a good day. War Eagle. Yeah.
Epic call from my man. David is up next.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today, brother?
We're doing great, David.
Good, good. Hey, after the spring games and with the transfer portal and all that, I just wanted to get your opinion on who do you think the front runners are in the East and the West and the SEC?
Well, David, I think you start with Georgia. And by the way, there's no more East and West. So you have 16 schools
right,
to choose
right.
from. And then and you've got Texas is going to be probably the number two pick. And I'm guessing it's Alabama next. Probably some debate about Ole Miss. And then you have Missouri and LSU and Tennessee. A lot of folks vying for that final spot in the first half of the division. Thank you for the call. Busy show. We still have an hour left, and we will be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus, you can listen and watch on the ESPN app.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.